started last week in terms of having a shiur that's a little bit of a sicha. I wanted to talk a little bit about Mei Meriva and even a little bit of Kanaim Pogimbo, because we have the double sedra, so Chukas Balak, and to try to identify a little bit of a Tzad HaShava Shebahem, even though it may be a little counterintuitive. So the most striking feature about Mei Meriva, Yan Asher Lohemant to be Lakti Sheni Leinei Bnei Yisrael Lachen Lo Savio Esakal Hazeh El Haaretz Asher Nishbati Lahem, is the enigmatic nature of a chait with such dramatic consequences. Rashi says it's basically a failure of Kiddush Hashem, because a dibur would have been a qualitatively greater Kiddush Hashem than Haka'ah. And the Ramban is very critical of this approach, says I'm not really sure why that would be true, right? Hitting a rock is no less miraculous than speaking to a rock, and in any event, he thinks that it may very well be possible that he was told to hit the rock and not to simply speak to the rock. Otherwise, what's the Mateh doing there? And a host of other questions as well. The Ibn Ezra has something of a more esoteric view. He thinks that somehow they lost a sense of Dveikus Bashem in the moment. They were meant to sort of bear in mind a kind of a sense of connection with the divine. The Rambam, we'll come back to this, says that it was Kaas, and Kaas is the cardinal sin. And Shemunah Hamorim, Amin Asal Azan Otzilach Hamayim. So that was unforgivable. The Ramban is particularly critical of Rambam's approach. He calls it Mosif Hevel Al Havalim. There's not a single reference in the Torah to the Kaas being the sin. It says Lo Hamantem Bi Lahakti Sheni. So the Ramban dismisses that approach. He thinks that Rabbeinu Chananel actually has perhaps the most compelling approach. Rabbeinu Chananel says, I mean, Asela Zen Otzi Lachamayim, that the problem was that somehow Moshe and Aaron created the impression that they were the ones that were doing this and not Hashem. Now, in the context of the Dor HaMidbar and their descendants, that was particularly egregious, because the greatest sins of the generation, whether it was the Egel or the Cheda Meraglim, had to do with a misunderstanding of the role of Moshe and Aaron, of the human leadership vis-a-vis divine leadership. So to confuse the people on that point could be pretty egregious. And the Ramban says it works out very well with words. Yan asher lo he'emantem bi lahakdi sheni. You should have directed the miracle towards me and not towards yourselves. And that's why the pasuk says, right, Asher Me'altem Bi, that Me'ila is Tev Hanoa Min HaHekdesh, it should have gone to Hashem and not to them. Ramban thinks that that's a very compelling possibility. And he himself says that it's really one of the Sodos Misisrei HaTorah, but for his money, he thinks what's going on here is that, contra the story in Shmos, where the quote Hashem was Galoy Mefursam Lezikne Ha'am, here the Kvod Hashem was hidden, and as a result of that, Moshe and Aaron felt that to bring about a very similar miracle to the one that we saw in Parshas Beshalach, they would need to do more themselves, that Hashem had somehow withdrawn, and that their agency was more required, and so they would need not just hit the rock once, as they did there, but they would need to hit the rock multiple times. Okay. And that's why it says, Asher lo he'emantem bi, that you should have had a greater sense of emuna, that even if I somehow was deus absconditus, that I was kel mistater, that I was hidden at that moment, you should not have seen this as any kind of a fundamental absence. So the theories, of course, abound. I'd like to try to distill Atzad HaShava Shebehem and use that as a springboard for a discussion of Pinchas and Kanayim Pokinbo and what that halacha is, and halacha ve'ein morin kein, and some parameters there as well. So let's take a look at that, and then we'll come back and we'll re-engage Mei Meriva. So we all know the Gemara says that the Chachamim were not particularly approving of Pinchas's actions, despite the fact that the immediate impact was dramatic and salutary. V'te'atzar ha-magefa, magefa ne'atzara. 24,000 died, and it could have been much worse. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu's response is, Bris kuna salom, brisi shalom, bekanoas kinasi besocham. One can hardly imagine a more admiring and laudatory presentation in the Torah. But Chazal were somewhat critical about this kind of violence and established very clear parameters about Bo'al Aramis Befarhesia, Kanayim Pokenbo, that it has to be not only Befarhesia, but it has to be Bishas Maisa, and had they separated, right, so that would have established Pinchas as a quasi-Rodef. Not the time to enter into all of the halachic parameters, but be that as it may, it was an event that was dictated by Shas Maisa, in the halachic sense of the term, and in the broader sense of the term. It could have only been licit in that moment, and anything absent or outside of that moment would have not only made it illicit, but something that would have fundamentally been Shfichas Damim. And so I think that this perspective can be helpful in revisiting and reevaluating Mei Meriva. Of course, that section of the Torah of Mei Meriva begins with the Jewish people arriving in Midbar Tzin, Chodesh HaRishon, and the Pasuk says, V'tamu sham Miriam v'tika versham. And then, of course, V'lo hayamayim la'ida. We discussed the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Tes, just yesterday, the Parnasim Tovim, the Be'er of Miriam. And it was a terrible loss to the Jewish people. Miriam was the visionary of redemption. Abba, Kashik Zerosecha Mishal Paro, Paro lo gozer lo zacharem, v'ata gozer lo zacharem v'al nekevos. Abba, Paro was only gozer, b'olam hazeh, and by preventing life from being born, your ma'akev olam haba, Paro, Rasha, Safik, Zerasa, Miskayemes, Abba, Tzadik, Ata, Zerascha, Miskayemes. Vate Tatsava, Chosome, Rachok, Ledeoma, Yaselo. Miriam's vision of Yeshua was something that she felt in every fiber of her being, and the loss of Miriam inexorably results in the loss of that great metaphorical symbol of hope under bleak circumstances, which is Hamotzi l'chamayim mitzur hachalamish, that idea of water coming forth even in the most barren desert. So the loss of Miriam is felt at the national level. But much more than the loss of Miriam is felt at the national level, it's felt by her brother Moshe. Miriam to Moshe was his great protector. Miriam to Moshe is the one who watched over him when he would have otherwise been drowned. And Moshe, the culminating passage of Parshas Be'aloscha, he can barely speak when he sees his older beloved sister stricken with the tzaras, and he lets forth a plaintive cry. Chazal noted its brevity. Kel na refana la. I don't think he could have managed another word. And it's in that context that, of course, the incident of Meriva happened. Now, whatever you think went wrong, in particular, according to the Rambam's view, but I think it can be applied to the other Rishonim that we discussed, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Rabbeinu Hananel, the Ramban. But what happened was, essentially, in Moshe's greatest hour of personal anguish, he was called upon to deal with a national crisis. And in that moment, he was not equal. In that moment, he was not equal to that which was required of him. If you read the Torah carefully, the entire, and again, the Lashon Chazal as well, that the absence of water had to do with the death of Miriam. The entire context of this episode is the death of Moshe's sister. And Moshe, b'mei aveluso, again, because he's not afforded the same space that others are afforded, v'ata po amodi madi, Moshe was called upon to be Karban Ola, Kali Ola Hashem, and at that rarefied level, right, Vayikadesh Bam, as Rashi says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Osadin with the Mikuravim, like Bikrovaya Kadesh, at that rarefied level, Moshe was momentarily unequal to the task. Whether it was Kaas, whether it was a failure of Kiddush Hashem, whether it was an issue of their own personal amunah slipping because the Kavod Hashem wasn't manifest the same way that it was in Bishalach, for a moment, Moshe was unequal to the task. And we could well understand it, because it was a time of personal grief. He was mourning the loss of the person to whom he felt perhaps more indebted than any other person in the world. And there's no question that that impacted his response. In contrast, if you think about Pinchas had suffered a great personal blow. Pinchas would be the only member of his family that was excluded from the kahuna. And he could have been, for personal reasons, extremely bitter. And maybe even with a touch of schadenfreude, he might have reveled a little bit in this public humiliation of Moshe. But Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Vayikach Romach Biyado, in that moment when Pinchas might have found a measure of personal vindication, and again, the Gemara dramatizes this, they assume, Zimri and the leaders of Shimon assume that Pinchas is coming in, Vayavo HaBaisa Lasos Melachto, etc., that he's with them. And of course, he redefines his personal legacy at that moment. Lachain Hininito Selo is Brisi Shalom, Vahaisalo Zara Acharav, Brisk Hunasolam. In that singular moment, Pinchas is able to overcome whatever personal embitterment would have been so understandable, and to transcend his own personal feelings in a great act to secure the communal welfare. Bekanoas kinasi, besocham velochilisi es bnei Yisrael bekinasi. He's able to ask to act in defense and ultimately in salvation of the Jewish people. And so, though we have it rarely, Chukas Balak provides us an opportunity to reflect on the contrast between Meriva and Peor, and Moshe and Pinchas in these moments. Whereas Moshe, in a moment of terrible personal grief, is unable to act in a way that would have been expected of the Parnas Hador, Pinchas, in a moment of great communal need, is able to overcome personal trial, an understandable personal resentment and embitterment, to be able to act in a dramatic way, b'shas maisa, in a very dramatic way, b'shas maisa, for the betterment of the kahal. And I think this challenges us, the contrast between Pinchas and Moshe, in a very important way. You know, life is always easier in the abstract. We think that we make the right choices. We'll imagine we'll wake up well-rested one fine Wednesday morning, there will be some kind of a need, and Tzarchei Tzibor, we'll be feeling great, we'll have had our breakfast that morning, the children will have all been respectful, they'll have washed it, put their bowls away, washed the dishes, we'll go off to work, there will be a crisis, and well rested, with a full belly, we'll confront the needs of the hour with a reasoned mind and a moral soul. The truth is that life and its most significant decisions very often happens in moments when on a personal level we're struggling. It may be as Moshe was experiencing loss. It may be as Pinchas could have easily experienced a sense of resentment, bitterness, opportunities that have been unjustly taken from us. All of these are possibilities. And yet our legacies very much rest on those moments. Moshe loses the opportunity to be the Mevi Eshakal Hazeh El Ha'aretz Asher Nishbati Lahem. Pinchas achieves something not only for himself, but for all generations henceforth. Bris Kuhunas Olam, that of course doesn't only impact him, but V'hai Salau U'lezaro Acharav. The challenges of halachic living, the crucible of decision making, it does not occur in this framework of nights filled with good sleep and all other factors in life being in order. The great challenges of our lives, the great decision points that we will face, very often occur in moments where personally we encounter struggle and pain. And yet the standards of halachic living, and certainly halachic leadership, Moshe Rabbeinu's failure at Meriva, Pinchas's astonishing success in Baal Por, reflect the idea of transcendence, that whatever personally takes place for us, that we have to be able to rise to the occasion and to be equal to the moment, irrespective of personal struggle and personal challenges. Really?
Yes.
Thank you for letting me know. We're going to ride our bike soon. Even shiurim take place within the context of, you know, other things going on, such as the visit of the light man, the electricity man. In any event, we're judged by those moments. We're judged by those moments. What is that about? Why doesn't Hashem say, well, you know, he was having a rough day. His sister just passed away. What is this just, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik b'tzadikim kechuda sa'ara? Okay, that's an approach. But then it becomes less relevant for at least me, if not for you. You know. And I do think that we should, you know, al tadin es chavercha chetagiyel in promo, that from the interpersonal perspective, we should grant people a sense of what was going on in their life that day. Somebody just got fired from their job and they show up at shul and they're giving the rabbi a hard time. you know, person should show a little bit of restraint. But from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, especially when Tzarchei Tzibor are involved, a person has to demonstrate transcendence, to be able to transcend personal challenges and rise to that occasion. So how do we understand that? So sometimes in life, you know, like, it really is a zero-sum game. It really is a binary proposition. Sometimes. When it comes to manhigos, when it comes to leadership, in the end, a person, you know, sof davar kol nishma, when you drill down, and we're saying, who's ra'oy to be a manhig? We have Pinchas, we have Moshe. So in the final analysis, no matter what is going on at the personal level, a leader is called upon to transcend and rise to that occasion, to act instinctively on behalf of the Tzibor. That's what Pinchas achieved, and that's what, for a moment, Moshe did not. And the consequences are thus. The people who are ra'oi lehanhaga to begin with are those people who, in the end of the day, have that capacity for transcendence. That they're going to be able to set aside their personal negios, their personal tragedies, their personal challenges, and act, again, with a reasoned mind and a committed soul on behalf of the Tzibor. Those are the people that you want in positions of authority. Remember, there's so much talk, v'hamev and yavin, both here and in Israel, about whose interests are really being served in a crisis. Personal interests? National interests. What made, on this July 4th weekend, what made Lincoln the greatest American, in my judgment, whoever lived? Certainly the greatest American leader. You know, people think, you know, Lincoln is the commander-in-chief in the Civil War. Lincoln, you know, came to the emancipation of the slaves. It's a remarkable thing. But what makes it more impressive, what makes it more relevant to our conversation today, is that Lincoln did so under the circumstances of the most horrific personal tragedies imaginable. I don't know if this is now part of the U.S. history curriculum or it's been taken out, who knows. But Lincoln, during his time in the White House, lost a son. Lincoln's wife was essentially rendered insane with grief. It was like Lincoln was showing up to cabinet meetings, you know, trying to prosecute a war that certainly for the first 2.5 years, till you came to the weekend of the 4th of July in 1863, right, Bo Bayom, so to speak, with Vicksburg and Gettysburg, in that order. For the first 2.5 years of the war, is going poorly. And it's not as if, you know, he's coming home and, you know, there's at least some happy family to sustain him, you know, with fresh cooked meals. And the man was besieged. He's utterly and wholly besieged. And yet, he transcends personal suffering to recognize the nation's wounds. And it's in that context that he calls on all Americans to find a deeper level of commitment to the tzibur within themselves. We here are highly resolved to take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. Now, who could make such a demand? Well, Ru'uyim Hadivarim Lamisha Amaram. Only somebody who had transcended so much by way of personal suffering and sacrifice would be able to go to the tzibur and say, you've got to dig a little bit deeper right now. The war would rage for another 2 years. And that's the stuff of greatness. So life does not occur, and the defining moments of life did not occur on a sunny Tuesday morning when we're well rested and we have no personal problems. Life and its defining moments occur against the backdrop of all of our personal failures, suffering. And in that moment, if we are in a position of leadership, we have to find self-sacrifice in an even deeper way. Mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu, an ayin tova, a generous attitude towards others, a ruach nemucha, a humility that expresses itself in a more altruistic way of life, and a nefesh shefala, as the Rambam says, a renunciation of personal luxury, especially when that renunciation will enable and further the lives and the livelihoods of so many people around us. Hayitachen, on this 4th of July, that those members of the greatest generation that have been felled in such catastrophic numbers by this plague, whose sense of duty and bravery was such that they stormed Omaha Beach and Okinawa under every form of fire known to man, is it possible that their descendants are so corpulent and entitled that their sense of personal sacrifice does not stretch to encompass the wearing of a mask in a public space? Hayitachen? Hayitachen, that for them the definition of freedom is freedom of all responsibility to themselves or to others, and not the freedom to freely choose to act nobly and responsibly for themselves, for their community, and for their nation? Hayitachen that they have no understanding of charus halaluchos al tikri charus alacherus en lecha ben chorin alamisha osik batora, that freedom means b'derech sh'adam rotzeleilech b'molichin oso, that a person is not going to be forced by God or government alike to make the right choices, but that we are afforded the opportunity to make choices where we freely accept restrictions on ourselves and our own sense of luxury and recreation in a moment of crisis, because we recognize that freedom is not freedom from, but the freedom to act nobly and responsibly. This is the challenge of the hour. If you care about the lives of the people around you and their livelihoods, you want them to be able to keep their businesses open so they can put food on their family's table. You care that the hospital should not be overrun, and that 100,000 Americans should not be infected every 48 hours, even though we're already past that point. This is what freedom means. An Independence Day. Are people going to celebrate with fireworks and barbecues as if it wasn't Meso Mutalafanov? They revisit what freedom actually is from a halachic perspective. Again, in ben b'chorin alamisho sigbatora, somebody who freely chooses to answer the call of the halacha to be mekabel alav ol Torah, and in this democracy, in this republic, to act with a modicum of responsibility, altruism, and a communitarian perspective. We're talmidim and descendants of Avram Avinu and not of Bilam HaRasha. And what that entails is very clear in this moment. We face crises, moments of great decision for the tzibur, even as we're beset by challenges at the individual level. Ashrei Ha'ish, who is able to transcend personal challenge and to be able to be equal to the needs of the hour when the fate of the community hangs in the balance. Wish everybody good Shabbos.